Thank you so much, you and the team, and good morning, everyone. Happy New Year to you all. It's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful, blessed year for each one of you, and that may God may take you strength to strength in every single area of your life. But really great to see you all after a couple of weeks away. Just as Paula said, enjoy surfing 4 hours a day, and just really enjoying myself, which was fantastic. Folks, just to encourage you, as Paula mentioned, we begin every single year at the church with a discipleship course. We've done Alpha last year and something else before that. This year, we're doing a course called Vintage Jesus, a course that just is designed to get you more in love with Jesus Christ. It's a great course. The way it works is 6:45 at the church, and you have a cup of coffee and some fellowship for about 15 minutes. Then a 25-minute teaching, really quality teaching on a specific topic. And then a half an hour of table discussion, which is facilitated by Expedia. So by 8:15, you're home. And it's something that's going to be an investment in your walk with the Lord this year. As Paula said, register either online, the website, or I'll sign up at the back. But an 8-week investment, giving you a firm foundation to launch 2019, I highly, highly recommend it. If you're part of a cell group, you may want to ask your leader to maybe just bring the whole group to the course for the first term. That may be something to consider. All right, if you got your Bibles with you, turn to the book of Psalms. Psalm 90. It's that time of the year again where people tend to make New Year's resolutions. We're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to stop doing this and stop doing that. And lose and all those kind of good things. But often by the time Easter rolls around, we're back on the chocolate, we're back on the hot cross butter, and the whole thing just peters out. But I think we love to be optimistic. We love to be this year is going to be better than last year. And so what I love about Psalm 90 is it just brings everything back into perspective. It reminds us of who God is, and it reminds us of the brevity of our own lives. So read Psalm 90. It's a prayer of Moses written in the wilderness. Psalm 90 goes like this. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. I love the way he begins. Just remind of the eternal nature of who God is, from everlasting to everlasting. Now verse 3, he turns the coin and he focuses on you. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men. 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past. And like a watch in the night, you carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flowers and grows up. In the evening, it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, even our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. Teach us, here's our key verse for this morning, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may have a heart of wisdom. That's a critical verse for this year. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have compassion, have grace, have mercy on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may be glad all of our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, and the years you have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. Isaiah 17. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Father, we thank you so much for your amazing word, that this word is a living word. It's full of hope and truth and instruction and conviction. And Father, I pray that as we launch into this new year, a year full of unknown abilities, unknown opportunities, unknown challenges, Lord, may we recognize the brevity of life. You've given us the gift of 70, 80 years, if we're lucky, to live on this earth. Father, may we maximize those days. May we live our lives for the glory of your name and for the benefit of your kingdom. And so, Father, as we spend these next 20 minutes just unpacking these truths, give us wide open hearts and wide open minds to hear, to receive, and to respond. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, Moses writing these words of faith from a very difficult and dark place. The wilderness was a daily reminder of his own personal failure as a leader and the failure of the people of God. Remember the story of Exodus? That God had delivered his people from 400 captivity in Egypt, a miraculous deliverance. He parted the Red Sea. Remember that great miracle? He then supernaturally provided for them over many years in the wilderness. And all of a sudden, this group of people who are known, loved by God, they reach the verge of the promised land. They can literally see it. It's that close. God's best for their lives. That land flowing with milk and honey, it's right in front of them. And as they reach the borders of that land, their hearts are filled with fear. They begin to doubt God's ability to deliver on his promise. And they say to Moses, we can't do it. Let's turn away from God's best. Let's turn our back upon the promised land. And let's go back to the wilderness. And that's exactly what they did. And in that place, tens and tens and tens of thousands of people died when they were so close to experiencing God's will in their lives. So close and yet so far. And so you can imagine Moses as the leader. He literally watches a generation of people die in the wilderness because of doubt and fear. And that's the context, the background of this psalm. And so in the middle of this horrible situation, Moses writes in verse 1, he says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. That's amazing. Even though we don't currently have a physical home, we're homeless. We've got no physical security. Even though we're nomads wandering through the desert, even though we've been faithless, we've lost hope. Lord, in spite of all of those things, you have been our dwelling place. You have been the consistent one, the faithful one. Our hope and security is in you, O Lord. Friends, I want to encourage you as you face challenges of 2019. I don't know what life has in store for you this year. I don't know what challenges may present themselves to you. But I know this one, that God is faithful. And I want to encourage you this morning as you launch into the year, lift up and focus on Jesus. May he be your dwelling place this year. May he be your safe place, your secure, your hope. May it all be focused upon Jesus. I love what he says. He says, before the mountains were born, God was there. Now, if you wanted to pick a landmark that would be permanent, I wouldn't encourage you to pick a human landmark, like a house or a home, because often those things change. Sometimes you go back to a place that you used to live in. You want to go and show your children, your grandchildren, where you grew up. And when you arrive at the house isn't the same as you remembered it. Either it's been destroyed or it's been changed. And Moses, he's in the desert. He looks around him and he sees the great mountains. And he says, that mountain is a picture of the character of God. And there you can see Mount Ararat. I'm taking the Turkey team in March to that great mountain. That's the great mountain where Noah's Ark came to rest. If you look at the top right corner, you can just see a bit of wood up there. But the mountains, Man, before the mountains even existed, God, you were faithful. You were good. May that be your experience this year. The goodness, the fullness, the steadfastness of God. From everlasting to everlasting, he remains the same. Then, in verse 3 onwards, Moses takes a look at himself and he takes a look at the rest of mankind. And that's a very useful exercise to do because it actually humbles us. We look at who God is. He's like the mountains, lasting to everlasting, eternal God. And then we look at ourselves and it humbles us because we reckon we are not like God. God has no beginning. God has no end. We are finite human beings. The brevity of life is a reality. We did the memorial service for Sean, Brenda's son, in this church. A young man, a father of little children. In the prime of his life, cut down. None of us have got a guarantee as to how long we will live. Moses says, maybe 70 years. Maybe. If you're lucky, maybe 8 years. But on average, you get to live 70 years. And in the light of eternity, even 70 years is nothing. And we are not like God. It humbles you. God is eternal. We are finite. We have a beginning. We have an end. And so Moses begins to have a look at himself and he says in verse 3, you turn people back to dust. What a contrast. The mountains, they symbolize eternal God. The dust, well, that is man. In the beginning, God formed us from the dust of the earth. And at the end of our lives, what do? We go back to dust. And then in verse 5 and 6, Moses compares the of human life to grass. He says, they are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs new, but by evening it is dry and withered. Now you can just imagine in the wilderness, if you do the research for yourself, there was foliage. There was grass that would spring up early morning in the desert. And because of the heat of the sun and the heat of the desert, by it withered, it had died. And so Moses looks around him and he says, just like that grass you see every day that withers and that's a picture of your life. It's fleeting. It's brief. It's there one moment. It's gone the next. Like James writes in his book, he says, life is like a vapor. Or some translations say, life is like a smoke. If you think back to your high school days and those who smoked cigarettes, often they'd say to you, watch this circle, this ring of smoke. And by the time you looked at it, it was gone. It was there. Gone. And James says, your life is like a puff of smoke. It's there and it's gone. It just vanishes as quickly as it arrived. What about the Psalm? Psalm 103:15 says, the life of humans is like grass, perished like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. That's the cycle. People are born, people live, people die, others are born, others live, they die, and so the cycle of life continues. My friends, there are those who filled these chairs before you arrived. They are, you are here. You will go, others will arrive. That's a cycle of life, and Moses says, don't discount the brevity of life. 70 years, if you're lucky, to live on this planet, what are you going to do with those 70 years? Now, here comes a key verse. From verse 7, Moses begins to consider the cause of our condition, the cause of the brevity of life. You see, it's so important to understand the cause, the reason. Because if you don't understand the cause or the reason, everything becomes pointless. We're born, we live, we die. Others are born, they live, they die. What's the point of it all? If you don't understand the cause of your condition, then you're going to be in a difficult place of encouragement. And so this is what he says. Moses says, there's a God, bless you, Paula. My goodness. That was violent. Real violent. There's a God reason. There's a theological reason behind our condition. And this is what it is. Verse 8 and verse 9, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. What's Moses doing? He's giving us a clue. He's linking our sinful condition to the brevity of life. He's saying the two are linked. The two are linked. Our sin nature, our inherent sinful nature is linked to the brevity of life. That's the root cause of our condition. And friends, it's so important because if you don't understand the root cause of your condition, you won't understand the need for the solution, which is the saving grace of Jesus Christ. He's the solution. He's the answer to our problems. And so Moses links the brevity of life to the cause of our condition. I was doing some research this week into a man by the name of John Newton. How many of you have heard of John Newton? John Newton wrote that amazing hymn, Amazing Grace. And John Newton got to the end of his life. He barely made it to 70 years. And at the end of his life, on his deathbed, this is what he said. Some of his last words before he passed into the next life. He said, although my memory is fading fast, I remember two things very, very clearly. I'm a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior. That's amazing. So even John Newton recognized that what Moses was saying is true. We are great, but you know what? We've also got a great Savior. And our hope and our confidence and our faith is Jesus. But if you think about it, the 70 or 80 years we have on this earth can pass by so quickly. Can you believe already into 2019? I was thinking about it this morning that the 1995 Rugby World Cup that we won under Francois Pienaar. Remember that? I know some of you weren't born when that happened. But that was 24 years ago. Hey? 24 years ago we became World Cup rugby champions. It's unbelievable how quickly time flies. And so, taking all that into consideration, let's the pinnacle of the psalm, verse 12. And this is what it says. Lord, in the light of all we've read, all we've spoken about, the brevity of life, the eternal nature of God, help us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Wow. What is wisdom? Wisdom is making the decision to live your life in the light of who God is. So every decision you make, the way you choose to live your life, make those decisions, you make those choices based on who God is. Remember the words of Jesus? The wise man hears the words of God and applies the words of God. Wisdom is I live my life in the light of who God is. Don't fall into the trap that says, I've got unlimited time. Man, I tell you, some of us are professional procrastinators. We could write a bestseller on procrastination. We'll get there, yeah. Belinda? Yeah. Procrastination says, I can do it tomorrow. Or one day when things are different. Or one day when circumstances change. Or we're waiting for a better opportunity or a better day or a better season of life. And before we know it, we've actually wished our lives away. And so, recognize that you have not got unlimited time on this earth. I mean, think back to when you were a teenager at high school. Can you think back that far? Think to when you were 16 or 17 years old. Man, those who were 25 or 30, they seemed ancient. Those who are 40 or 50, wow, they were real old. And that's me now. Those who are 70 or 80, oh my goodness. They had one foot in the grave and the other a banana peel. And before you know it, those years have passed you. You find yourself 40, 50, 60 or 70 years old. Life is fleeting. Life is brief. And so never believe the lie that says, I've got unlimited time. Friends, let me tell you this. We don't want to waste our lives in 2019. And you will waste your life if you don't do what Moses says. Recognize the brevity of life. Today is a gift. Today is a gift. Paul and I woke up this morning and we enjoyed the most beautiful walk along the ocean way to the point and back, and we prayed and bird life and the activity in the ocean, just the magnificence of all this creation speaking of God's glory. It's a joy to be alive. It's an honor to be alive. It's a joy to Jesus. Don't wish your life away or wait for a better day. Seize the day and make the most of your day. So when the deadline arrives, when your allotted days are finished, you'll have no regrets. No regrets. I fought the good fight. I finished my race. I kept the faith. I recognize that God is eternal. He's from everlasting to everlasting. I'm finite, but I use my 70 years, my 80 years for the glory of God and for the benefit of others. And now I'm ready to go. Don't waste your life. Seize the day. Make the most of every God-given opportunity. Then, in verse 13, Moses shifts gear a little bit. He says, "Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion," your Bible, my word, "mercy on your servants." So Moses is saying we don't only need wisdom to navigate the journey of life. We also need compassion and mercy and grace. Think for a moment today. Where would you be today were it not for the grace and mercy of God? Oh, just think about it. And so Moses says, as you navigate through life, yes, you need wisdom, but you also need lots of compassion, lots of mercy, and lots of grace. And you know what? A couple of weeks ago, on the 25th of December 2018, we celebrated the answer to Moses' prayer. Jesus Christ came full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ lived the life that you and I never ever live. Perfect, spotless. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth, died the death we should have died in our place and for our sins. And today, Jesus Christ offers hope and grace, and freedom, and life to all those who would call upon his name. Jesus, full of grace and truth. As the hymn writer once put it, "Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood." Hallelujah! Savior. What a Savior. Jesus Christ, full of grace. My friends, we will never, ever, ever comprehend the price that was paid for our lives. Only Jesus understands because he paid it in full. He paid it in full. So Moses wraps it up with a few final prayers in verse 14 through 17. And the first thing he says in verse 14 is this: "Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy, be glad all of our days." What a challenge. You see, some of you have spent just looking for those two things, satisfaction and joy, outside of Jesus. Don't waste another year trying to fill your life with things that will never satisfy you. Jesus Christ today offers to meet you, to satisfy the deepest longings of your soul, and to fill you with indescribable joy. Joy. Despite your circumstances, satisfaction and joy. And so pray this prayer in 2019 every single morning. Lord, satisfy me with your unfailing love. Hey, listen to this. What about this morning? No matter how many dark days, like Brenda's walked over this last year, no matter how many dark and difficult days you experience on this planet, they will be outnumbered by tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of years in the presence of the living God. Keep it in perspective, my friends. Keep it in perspective. Finally, Moses prays in verse 17. He says, "May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. That just reminds me of Psalm 127, where the psalmist says, Lord, unless you build the house, those who build labor in vain. Friends, as you build your life this year, some of you are building retirements, some of you are building businesses, some of you are building marriage, you are raising children. As you build your life in its different facets this year, may that be true for you. May the favor of God, the favor of God rest upon you. May the face of Almighty God shine upon you. Live under the favor of God this year. Live under the blessing and protection of this year. Never forget He is eternal from everlasting. You are not. Make your 70 or 80 years count for the glory of God and for future generations. Let us pray. If I could ask those who are serving the communion to come and join me up front. In a few moments' time, friends, you're going to receive a cup which symbolizes the blood of Jesus Christ. You're going to receive a piece of bread, symbolizes the broken body of Jesus Christ.